All right. In practice, we're live.
Yay!
Excellent!
We'll get it right eventually. We're practicing.
In practice or in theory?
Remember, doctors practice medicine, but teachers teach.
That meant nothing.
All right, well.
We're on Mixer now, right?
Some doctors, yes, we are on Mixer. Teach, I think. You know, if they have a PhD.
This is also
true. I like to call my cat Dr. Cat. He's very smart.
We're just going to go back to cat conversation, which we've been doing for the past 15 minutes.
But yeah.
We're actually now doing a cat role-playing game. Hope you guys are ready.
Yep. We're all playing Tabaxi.
Ready to go.
I'm hearing myself in the background, but oh well. Welcome to Hitting the Biz.
Sorry, I unmuted the Mixer stream just to make sure.
See if it was working. Thank you.
Seems like it's working. Yeah.
All right. Welcome to Hidden Abyss. It's a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. I am Crash. I will be your DM for the evening. I am joined tonight by a bunch of fantastic people who are totally rad. And this includes Ellie, Eric, Io, Jen, Millie, Cindy, and Matt.
Yay.
All right. Woo. And I'm assuming Archbeth will be hanging out in chat soon as well, because that usually happens. But
I forgot to text her.
Oh, okay.
I will text her now.
And then I can refer to her as the Archangel of Archives.
Yes.
All right. So, it's been 2 weeks. My mind is a little fuzzy on the details.
It's been...
All I know is birds.
Last I remember, there was a bunch of fish food on the beach.
Oh, yeah. We left someone underwater with the burping children.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Because we all got captured by the fish people.
And they thought I was food.
They thought you were food. And they actually saved us. And we thought they were attacking us at first, because it sure kind of looked that way.
And I performed lots of sacrilege.
I'm sure.
I also rode some gnolls.
Mm-hmm. Did we have any side of blasphemy or just sacrilege?
Oh, it was blasphemy.
Okay.
So apparently,
blasphemy, blasphemy.
The Tarrasque.
Blasphemy.
And he fought Cthulhu, who is my, like, god. And so I was having my octopus, my familiar, who is now an octopus, dancing and pretending to be the Cthulhu attacking the Tarrasque, and they thought that was really rude.
Yeah. And they brought us back out from, we were underwater in glass domes where they were collecting people and trying to keep groups together.
Oh yeah, you're in a fishbowl, whoever it was.
In a fishbowl, right. And there's one fish person that can talk to us in common.
And
the rest don't. And yeah. And so he let us out with the help of this fizzy plant, and so we could breathe.
Great.
And we got back up on the shore, and it was basically hell from the look of it. And then we tried to storm.
And then I asked where Sanctimonious was.
Right. Yes.
Rat friend, and you used the rat friend and your thing of controlling.
Yeah, my rat friend is currently AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
And we found her weave.
Yeah. And I rode those gnolls all the way across town.
Yes.
And
I have dogs now. Down. They followed me home, and I did keep them.
Yep. There's like four of them, I think. Yeah.
They were mighty steeds. I love them. I'm pretending to fly on their backs.
It's kind of a problem.
It's kind of the best. Also, then I tried to climb a wall, and I fell down, and I smacked my head.
And the wall may have been made of corpses.
Well, blocked by, yeah.
And then at the last second, right as I was angrily about to try again, someone stopped us.
Yeah. Someone said that we could use a little help.
Yeah, it was a voice that apparently we are supposed to know, but I don't, because I don't know, I'm just a bird.
Oh, no, none of the characters have encountered this person before. Some of the players have encountered this person before, but they were playing different characters at the time.
Right.
None of us know. And most importantly, though, I'm a bird.
Yep.
Is that really better than being a brib?
Comes down to. I'm a burb.
I'm waiting for a moment where Paige decides to panic, because then we can use my favorite burb gif of all time.
Oh, the one.
The one, yes.
That one, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and
if you scroll up far enough, you'll see that I have already been using it.
Yeah, I've been seeing them up there, and that's very bird. I have a bird that does that, essentially.
Also, very important fact that I technically can use words. You know, I can totally bumblebee it. But I've chosen not to, because I don't think your words are worth remembering. Because that's how Paige rolls.
All right.
Y'all are beneath her. Also, Finidal.
Sharps and Pepper Incorporated.
Cindy's character.
Fahim.
I knew it had the full sound. Fahim. Knows everything that's going on, but is burdened with a glorious purpose and refuses to tell any of us.
Probably for the best.
Right, honestly, yes. Yeah. Oh, and we were missing Ulfgar. And so we're
Ulfgar's babysitting the burping children.
Is that right?
Know that. Or did we not find him? You didn't see Ulfgar there.
Oh, yeah, we didn't see him.
We never saw him. He was captured, so that means he's in a tank somewhere.
The last you saw Ulfgar, he... sort of
was on the beach with
he went down under a swarm of fish people who had difficulty capturing him at first, because they were using man catchers, not dwarf catchers, and they were aiming too high.
Yeah.
Then they tried to make a dwarf float, but they didn't have any ice cream.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and for some reason Onka has been handed Ulfgar's weapon.
He has like, several.
Well, it's the hammer that was used to hit the thing into the ocean. She's got it now.
Because they think that you are like a god or something.
Wait, Ulfgar or
one?
We'll get there. Yeah. we'll get there.
It's less that they think you're a god and more that they think you're supposed to fight a god.
Yeah, they think you're it's a prophet.
We'll get there.
They're not entirely sure.
They think you're special, though. Ain't that something?
They shook the magic eight ball. It said, prophecy unclear. Try again later.
And they were like, that means yes.
Well, we'll just wing it.
We usually do.
Mm-hmm. when you're dealing with a race that literally makes gods from their belief system, you know, just winging
it. Isn't that every race on Circulus?
And there might be a reason why, but we're metagaming then.
I have a feeling Onka
that fourth wall and get back into it.
Onka's going to meet Ulfgar, and he's going to say, "How are we doing?" And she goes, "Same as always." And he's going to reply, "That bad, huh?"
Oh, it might be worse.
And
but anyway.
Then a bunch of fish people get tossed into the pit of Sarlacc.
Yes, fish food.
Well,
I got that reference.
This is where we wanted to go anyway.
Just preemptively, Paige is cackling.
So, same as always.
Somewhere a small kobold is smiling.
I'm sure.
Possibly more than one. I know what's going to happen tonight. Well, some of it. So, we're going to take this off, not necessarily talking about what's happening with Ulfgar, because that's going to end up being a flashback, flash sideways, slash whatever. We'll get to him. Don't worry. But first of all, after a wonderful sledding experiment was attempted by a small burb over a slimy batch of Murloc corpses and a certain tiefling rogue warlock was going to say, "Well, I can just walk over this. I mean, it's not really a problem. I've got these boots of spider climbing." You heard a voice behind you say, "Looks like you could use some help." And assuming that you turn, because otherwise just be like, no, don't turn around. Do not acknowledge the voice. DM is going to try to railroad us with information. Don't do it. Let us fail on our own.
I think we failed enough on our own already.
Right,
so I'm turning around.
So, Anka's turning around to see who that is.
I flip backwards on the ground, and I'm doing like snow angels to get the grime off of my wings.
I'm fairly certain that if you had decided to come to Plantain a day earlier, like you originally intended, there's a pretty good chance you would not have been able to stop the volcano from exploding. So it's not like this is all your fault.
It's not my fault at all. I'm doing snow angels in the dirt.
Actually, you're doing snow angels in the ash, which is falling.
You're doing what birds do is like a dust bath. This is essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, it's an ash bath.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a great time. My feathers are getting nice and clean. I'm getting all the moisture out.
So you see behind you, there is a tiefling wearing a very wide-brimmed hat that's keeping the ash from landing on him for the most part. And he is playing a bit with a violin, like he's trying to tune it. Not like he's trying to play notes, but just trying to see if it's in tune. It is not in tune. He's working on it. And he's not even looking up at you, really. He's just playing with his violin.
Burb is humming the correct pitch.
Give me a performance check.
Let's see. I mean, I can mimic perfectly.
Oh, yeah. And you've heard every note, so you can mimic every note. Performances, are you mimicking the correct note?
Oh, gotcha.
You're going for A sharp. You mimicked B flat. I'm sorry.
No, other way. Okay. Nope.
You're now accidentally harmonizing off key with the off key violin.
There you go.
Sounds nice.
What a musical bird companion you have. In any case, like I said, looks like you could use some help.
Yes, we could.
Oh, my Lord.
Uh-huh. You got it. Uh-huh. You got it.
Sorry. Yeah. No. Uh-huh. Nope. 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 Whole bunch of nope. Bye-bye.
But you don't know that. Come back here.
Yeah, no, I'm still somewhere else. Thank heavens.
Ulfgar is now, wherever he is, suddenly filled with a sense of gratitude for being somewhere else.
Yes. We could use some help.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Bryn. Call me Mo.
Mo, I am Onka, and
Mo,
we need help definitely.
Mo.
We're trying to get in there, and you can see the problem.
Oh yeah, quite a wall of problem, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it is.
Yeah, well, I don't think you need my help with that so much. This gentleman over here seems to be quite burly and strong. You'll probably clear that out in no time. No, I was thinking more of along the lines of additional help that will be useful in the near future.
What sort of help?
Well, it really depends on what you have to offer in return. I was always told you can do something well. Don't do it for free.
Beth in Twitch chat knows why I have associations with the name Mo.
I also have associations with the name Mo.
I am getting associations with the name.
Yes. See, this is what I was in between last time and this time. I went, oh no. I just didn't say anything.
I know a friend named Mo that actually went to go see Hamilton. He tells me it's really, really cool. I want to go see it myself. But, you know, you got to go to New York and it's...
No, you only have to go to Philly now.
Chicago.
Standard.
Who wants to go to Philly?
Statement. Eric is Puerto Rican. He gets to do the accent because he's... actually, literally, in real life, Puerto Rican. I will not be doing the accent because definitely not.
Eric would love it in Philly, though. It's always sunny there.
Oh. Anyway.
I don't like short jokes.
Well, I can tell you a longer one.
So first of all, I have no idea who this character is. And that's I don't fine. Want any more allusions to who this character is.
You won't probably get any. It'll reveal.
The thing is that I don't want any more references because I don't know who they are.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Also, my Burb character no longer really cares because, I mean, like, people are literally dying and he wants money. And also, like, I can figure the crap out myself, so I'm gonna... So I'm now like ignoring once again and just trying to like still laying there and trying to think of better ways to get inside.
Anyway, so
have I made it up the hill?
Oh, it.
I don't know.
I assumed you were going to try to climb up the walls of the gate.
Oh, that's what I assumed too, but
yeah.
I didn't know whether there was a hill of bodies in my way.
Oh, there is a hill of bodies, but that they were at the gate entrance. But if you have boots of spider climbing, yeah. Gate entrances are optional landmarks.
Optional landmarks, yes. Yeah, then that's what I'm going to try.
Okay, you're on the other side of the gate. Congratulations.
Neat.
There is not a stack of bodies on this side.
Let's see if there's a way to open it.
I'm squawking fervently at Cindy to open the gate.
There is no Cindy, only Fahim. Or...
Fahim.
Fahim.
Yeah, because Fahim's the only one who I definitely know will listen to.
which way does the gate open? Because I have slippers of spider climbing too, so I can be on the other side very easily.
Oh, so we've gone from the amazing spider tiefling to into the Spider-Verse, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
With the bird being the only one not able to climb.
Or fly.
No. Let's do this one more time.
So, how many times do we have to teach you this lesson?
This particular set of gates opens inward, but it's locked.
Opens inward, but it's locked. Okay,
well, let's away.
Can I physically break the lock with my muscles?
I talked right over Fahim, and yes. I'm sorry.
Can I break the lock with my muscles?
You may certainly make an attempt.
Glisten them extra strong.
That would be a strength athletics check, I would say.
Extra glisten.
Athletics, okay. I'm actually proficient in athletics, so 24.
Okay.
Yay!
So,
all right.
I'm going to say that you look at the lock and think to yourself, this is going to require a great deal of finesse.
Extra biceps.
And then you give it a kick.
And there is a
and there's a snapping sound inside, and the gates swing open because there's a large pile of murlocs on one side that's now more equally distributed on the inside and the outside. You are now knee-deep in murloc guts.
I immediately get up, run past, pat her on the head, and then keep going.
So anyway,
Well, no. I guess that's solved then.
Yeah, I stopped midway through casting Mage Hand.
Magic means nothing next to these muscles.
That's a great out of context D&D quote.
That's
right there.
One to keep forever.
So, Mal.
Yes.
Really, it would help to know more specifically what sort of deal you're hoping to make here.
I like to collect things. Favors
what
sometimes.
What sorts of things? Oh.
Every now and then. You know, I instead of a favor, I might, you know, accept a rare gem or two.
Ah, I think I get what you're saying.
And, you know, sometimes I might ask for a bit more, but not on the first date.
Well,
and then he
mumbles
something
much...
about how... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
He mumbles something, because he's still trying to tune his violin. And almost something about how he loves the climate here, but it is wreaking havoc with his ability to keep the thing tuned.
Well, while I very much appreciate the offer, the thing I think you're referring to is not actually for sale.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. The offer will remain open, however. You won't find me in there, however. I'm less welcome there than I'm welcome in most places, oddly enough. So... I wish you the best, and I truly, sincerely mean that. I hope we meet again.
Good luck.
Oh, that's something I never need. And as he walks away, you just hear him yell, "Firefox, we're done here!" And he walks off.
Well, that was a very strange person.
I need to find Chip. I need to go find Chip right now.
Well, you know... Assuming the Chip is still with the gem, he's in the opposite direction.
Oh. Dang it, out of character, I don't want to split the party again, but in character, I'm not sure I can keep Bryn from,
So, question, if the party is technically already split...
Yeah, it is.
Are you really splitting the party again?
Well, I'm splitting the party another time.
You're dicing that onion is what you're doing.
Oh, no. Well,
it's already peeled.
All it means is more tears for everyone.
Okay, yeah, Bryn and the gnolls are going to go look for Chip.
Okay. There is a halfling and gnoll stampede heading away from the gate that Fahim just graciously opened for everyone.
I'm already inside.
Well, that's a very confusing thing there, too. Today has been so strange. I'm just going to shake my head and go inside with everyone else because I can't catch Bryn and the dogs. So, okay.
Don't worry, I didn't go like too far inside. I just wanted to make it very clear which direction I was voting for.
Okay. we're going to switch over to Ulfgar. Ulfgar, and this is going to be a very short interlude, but I'm going to say that you come to smelling like you're at the wrong end of the fish market. And the first realization that you have after the odor is that you can't move. And the second is that that's probably a fish person butt in your face.
This is unpleasant. Well, let's see. If I can't move...
You feel pinned. Let's put it that way.
Pinned. Okay. So I'm more or less restrained. So let's try to see if we can move. If I am still wearing my magical gauntlets, I am stronger than the average dwarf, I hope.
Okay. so give me a contested grapple check versus a corpse.
Okay. That should hopefully win. Let's see if I remember how to do the dice rolling thing after last week. After doing it so many times. Nope. I remembered how to type, but so I can't get any leverage. I will start shouting, get this thing off of me. Hello. Okay. What is that god-awful smell?
You hear a voice say, at this point, I'm sorry to say it might also be you. Sorry.
Who is that? Hello?
Hi. I'm one of the survivors, I think. Hold on. And you hear more than feel at first, a bunch of fish people getting shifted around you. And eventually, the one whose posterior is glued to your anterior is moved out of the way, and you are not greeted with the rays of sun shining down. You are greeted with dark storm clouds and ash raining down, and basically the first layer of hell. You seem to have encountered the first layer of hell, which is a step up because buried in fish people is probably second or third layer.
I will try to get up. My name is Ulfgar. And who might you be?
My name's Luminous, and this is the worst honeymoon ever.
All right. Oh, my.
Go back to.
Oh, my. Okay.
Implying that Ulfgar got married.
Leaving you hanging on that plot line, let's go back to the palace where the front doors are also locked. So the small burb attempted to be inside, but Paige is still sadly on the outside until Fahim brings her lock picking skills over to deal with this door as well.
Anyway, I am blubbering in front of the door until Fahim comes up. I just want to get in.
Nasir will also bring lockpicking.
Imagine, if you will, the sound that every cat makes when they want to go out or in or out and in.
Let me in! Let me in!
This is not what I wanted at all. Let me back out.
Yeah.
Only coming from a burb. And I think it's already been established that Unka was walking over as well. So
yes.
Does anyone attempt to go with Bryn and her small band of hyena people?
I don't think I can catch them. It sounded like they took off.
Bryn has a speed of 25 feet. She's the slowest member of the party, I think.
The gnolls kind of do the thing where they run ahead, and then they come back and do little circles around Bryn, then run ahead again. Like, imagine, if you will, you're taking a small dog for a walk.
Oh, boy. So I didn't go that far in. What's my traveling speed? Maybe I will attempt to catch up with her.
30.
I don't know. 30?
30 is default.
I can try.
You have to be injured in some way or just be short for it to be lower than 30.
Ah, okay. So I can probably catch up?
Probably.
Okay. I'm going to go with, because I just feel like something's really wrong. She might need help.
Okay. DM says,
my familiar's already going with her.
Group anymore. I got to change some things.
Sorry.
Nothing. Nothing. It's all fine. This is fine.
Fine.
This party splits so often.
Look, I was going to come back to Chip after, but that was before we had the whole the devil went down to Plantain thing.
Yeah, before the weird dude came.
Technically, Plantain is one of the northernmost countries, so.
Okay, the devil went up to Plantain.
Right. How All right, so I'm going to catch up to Bryn and, you know.
Well, it's the violin.
Oh, I mean, every tiefling bard is immediately...
Violin is now bad.
Who starts talking about deals.
Oh, that and the comment about he likes the climate. It's like, oh.
You're in a volcano zone. Are you okay?
I'm pretty sure that Eric's appreciating the climate as well. It's home.
Do you think he enjoys the ash and the volcanic rock?
Honestly, I've been in worse.
Okay. Valid.
At least it's not hurricane season, I mean.
Violinists who show up and start talking about deals are sinister.
What if they're just looking for a job?
We'll figure that out eventually. Yeah, he's a freelancer.
My wares!
And he refuses to work for exposure.
Right. As you should, you know.
Because a good portion of the population just died of exposure when the volcano erupted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all the exposure he needs for the next year.
Okay,
exposure, it's so light.
So I'm going to catch up to Bryn and go wherever she's going.
Okay, is anyone else going with Bryn, Unka, and the Knolls? That sounds like a great band name.
It does.
Unka and the Knolls? That sounds like, you know.
See, the problem is Eric... in his brain is trying to wants to make sure all the little checks are marked off where everybody is. So hopefully his sister's where she needs to be with them. So because of that, Eric is going to go with Bryn just to make sure they're okay as well.
I can imagine the one moment where he's like, okay, we're at the palace. Lilia might be inside, and Bryn and Unka run off and he turns towards the palace and then he turns back towards them. And he turns towards the palace and just goes, sort of like stomps his way through the ash to follow.
Hands in the air.
His inner being to try and protect his friends. That's what he's trying to do.
Hi. You know, it's okay. I shouldn't be, I don't want to jinx it. But,
where are you going?
To find Chip.
Do you have any idea where he is?
Kind of.
Well, that's a good start.
And to be fair, I did locate object the gem earlier, not locate Chip. Locating creatures is a higher level spell that I do not have.
Ah, okay. Yep. Well?
I'm finding Chip. He's got the gem.
That gem?
Well, let's make sure we find Chip, so we can get back as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Look, I was getting captured, okay? It's a long story.
Well, most of the structures that you're walking between were made of wood, and many of them have burned down to the foundations. There's chunks of ash that are... Like, it's charcoal, basically, that are still standing, so you're still walking around things. Some walls are still miraculously intact for some strange fluke of nature. Yes, Paige, you are correct. Charcoal is good for you. Maybe not this amount of charcoal, but... and maybe it should not be inhaled so much, but maybe you filter water through it instead, but whatever. And of course, every now and then there's small to medium to incredibly large rocks from when the volcano first exploded that are scattered about. So it's not like it's a desolate, flat landscape that you are going over. And it is around a particular group of burned out, but still mostly standing houses where the gnolls start to slow down. They've been running ahead of you and running back a lot because they can.
Hey, is something wrong?
They slow down, and more than one of them starts to just give a low growl.
That's not a good sign, is it?
Well, something wrong?
Has Lassie found something?
Yes, Peter fell down a well.
Oh, God.
Why are you posting animated GIFs of female Worgen?
Oh, no.
That's a layered joke, but never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might be shaking a bit too much.
Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, I was actually trying to see if I could hide it, and I realized I couldn't, so I'm like, I'm going to delete it after the comments happen.
I appreciate it. All the gnolls are looking at this group of houses that are still standing and just giving a low growl. And anyone who cares to notice will see that they formed a defensive formation around Bryn.
I'm guessing that I can't sense Chip in range of familiarness.
Oh, yeah. He's right around the corner.
Oh, he is?
Maybe a little bit lower than you.
Can I
check around and see what's going on? I'm going to look for his eyes.
You're going to look for his eyes. Okay, you cannot
through his eyes.
Oh, through his eyes. You see that he's on a school bus. Sitting on an orange chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, he's in a dark hole. He is still holding on to the gem in a bit of a death grip. In this dark hole, there's a bit of a trail because he was holding it in a death grip while he was trying to bring it in here, which meant he was only propelling himself with his hind legs. So it sort of scraped along the ground to get in here. But there is a face outside the hole that looks kind of like an animal. But every now and then it moves so that the eye is looking in. Or then it moves so that the snout is sticking in. And every now and then it withdraws. And a rather anthropomorphic hand that's still clawed and still covered in fur comes in and tries to make the hole a little bit wider.
I snap back to myself. Hold on, Chip, I'm coming. We're coming. And what? Bryn starts heading towards the knoll where I assume the knoll that's menacing Chip is.
I'm going to follow, because I don't know what's happening, but it's obviously important to go there, so
okay.
That's where I'm going.
And you run around the corner, and you immediately see a creature that, if it's a knoll, it's a different breed that you have not encountered before. So we're going to go back to... I'm horrible. I'm a horrible person. And I am here for this content that I'm doing. Ulfgar, you have been rescued by a gnome named Luminous. You are not, in fact, engaged or married to Luminous. She's referring to a marriage that occurred earlier in the week. And she came here with her new husband to celebrate because it was...
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Geographically speaking, quite close. Now, she's referring to him in the present tense, so your assumption is that he's still around, or she's in denial, one or the other. But as she pulls you out, she gives you a once-over and says, okay, well, anything missing?
Ulfgar will actually check. Other than my hammer. my hammer, I seem to be otherwise intact.
Well, it might still be buried underneath some of these, whatever they are.
They look like the same people he was overrun by, correct?
They are exactly the same people you were overrun by. It might be that in the attempt to capture you and bring you under the ocean, some of the Murlocs captured each other.
okay.
But every now and then, there's a bit of an issue of crowding, and some of them might have been trampled, and it's possible that the ones that captured you originally might also have been trampled. And you sort of just got buried in the fray.
This particular group of Murlocs must have graduated from the Stormtrooper School of Capturing.
Gotcha. That explains it to me a way the player understands. However, Ulfgar will be like, what are all these dead fish people doing here, and where is my hammer?
Your last waking memory was you were going down under, not a dog
for
pile,
the third time.
That'd be the gnolls. More of a fish.
Were you going down to Chattahoochee?
That sounds like a better place than where I'm at now. So,
Ulfgar, you are certain that this is also the worst honeymoon ever,
and you're not even going to have one. Yeah, I agree with her assessment. Well, he'll take a quick look around.
There's a few other stragglers that are positioned sort of like, imagine if you will, beachcombers, the most morbid of beachcombers.
Mm. Well, little lady, let's see if we can't find something to do.
I'm
three inches
taller than you.
Is she? I have no idea.
Gnomes and dwarves are about the same height. There's enough variation that some are taller than others, but first edition, there was a significant difference, but they sort of...
Oh, yeah. Ulfgar is 4'2", so I don't know how tall she is. But...
Well, she happens to be standing on two Murloc corpses, so right now she is 3 inches taller than me.
Then we won't worry about that distinction. let's see. We're on a beach. Do I see anyone here other than dead fish people and these stragglers? Anyone I recognize?
No, not where you are.
Okay, so at this point, he will probably head back towards the inn they were staying at.
You mean the
sure.
smoking wreck that has collapsed under its own
flaming the minute
wreck.
He sees that, the minute he sees that, okay. Well, little lady, did you see anything? Because I was busy being unconscious.
Mostly, we saw that the volcano exploded. And then there was an army of fish people.
I was here for that.
There were a lot of dog people that kept a lot of people from getting on the boats.
I did not see that. I've seen the dog people, but I didn't realize what they were here to do.
And there's some of the survivors are telling me that people weren't allowed in the palace either. There was some really big people that were keeping people out of the palace.
Oh, those things. I didn't get to talk to one of them. The palace, eh?
Yeah.
They're keeping them out of the palace and keeping them away from the boats. Well, that's unusual behavior. But I think at this point, we might be better off headed towards the palace.
Yeah, most of the boats sank by now.
The fish people attacked them, I assume.
Well, when you have a volcano explode, things come down.
No, the rocks from the volcano.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Okay.
You accidentally went into the
different voice
channel. Yeah,
I was trying to scroll through the GIFs, and I hit the screen.
I'm sorry.
I have a touch-sensitive screen now, and I was trying to scroll through, and I'm like, whoops, hit something, and it jumped off. Never mind.
All right, so
let's head to the palace. I think that might be a better place. If nothing else, Eric's father, I believe, is there. He may perhaps shed some light on this situation. Or if nothing else, we can inform him of what we saw on the beach.
All right. Let me contact
you
my
said
husband.
Honeymoon.
And
where is he?
Oh, he's up there.
He's up at the palace?
And now we're going to cut to our palace individuals who did not run off, so that would be a very, very angry little bird. And Fahim. And dang it, I don't have my
Mazir,
thank you. I kept wanting to say Marwise, but that's a different player in a
that's
different campaign.
That's not great at all. Yeah.
That's way off.
And I'm waiting for Fahim to open the door.
If Marwise was here, this adventure would be very different. Because yes, Marwise is level 17.
Yeah, Marwise is level 17 and just acquired a relic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, aha! You will all fall prey to my machinations. I have an army. I've got a blender. Next.
Open my door. I'm
okay.
Yelling that. I'm not really yelling that, Fahim, because I don't use words, but that's definitely the feeling I'm conveying.
It doesn't matter what sounds you hear. It translates into, like, Imagine, if you will, that Paige has discovered the art of universal translation.
Now
I want to see fan art of Paige wearing a Starfleet uniform.
Battlefish in my ear.
Or that too. Or we already have a Time Lord in the party. We just need to, you know, become attuned with the TARDIS. And then everything will translate. Yep.
All right. I'm going to try to muscle my way through the door because Fahim assumed this whole trip was mostly about checking for survivors. So locked doors are an obstacle to checking for survivors.
Okay.
Don't you have the ability to lockpick?
I kicked the last door down, so I'm going to try this one too.
True. Might as well. Well, start off strong.
It requires some cunning. No, all of your cunning. Go ahead and give me a strength athletics check.
18.
You successfully kickflip off the door.
Heck yeah.
The door is not impressed.
I sigh, but begrudgingly clap my wings. That was a sick kickflip.
Mazir has her lockpicks ready.
All right, Mazir, give me a sleight of hand check.
Mazir uses her inspiration.
Good plan.
Better.
All right. So, you know that scene in Return of the Jedi where Han is like, I think I got it. I think I got it. Give me a dexterity save. Well, in a sense, you got it.
Oh, no.
In a different sense, it got you.
Oh, no.
But I keep rolling low when it comes to damage from things like this, historically, so that's weird. You take 4 points of piercing damage as a portcullis comes down in front of the doors.
I should have used my mage hand.
Yeah.
You take the 4 points of damage because as you scoot backwards, one of the spikes at the bottom lands on your foot.
Ooh.
You are now technically grappled.
I have a question. First of all.
But your slippers are magical, so it's not actually piercing through. You're lucky. You're welcome.
Well, is there a switch to change this?
I'm sorry?
Like, is there, like, a switch to pull the thingy back up?
Oh, there might be. There might be a whole cranking system to pull it all up, but you don't see it on the outside.
It's probably inside.
Is there, like, an open window or something on a higher floor I could just slippers of spider climbing walk my way to?
Oh, most likely,
that's what I was thinking.
So, I have my octopus friend, and I can temporarily make it disappear and make it reappear on the other side of the gate.
Okay, now, let me paint the scene for you. There is the portcullis that came down.
Yes.
And there's
that's
maybe
an impressive
a 2-inch...
lock, by the way.
I'm sorry?
I said that's an impressive lock, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Because it required a higher roll than that. Which, 16 is pretty good, don't get me wrong. That would get most locks, but if you are...
I was going to say, the standard lock is 15.
If you are, you know, maybe the head of a long line of a royal family and you have a palace that is designed to be able to withstand a volcanic explosion, not just eruption, maybe you spent a few more gold on that lock.
Ugh.
Yeah. There's about a 2-inch gap between the bars that came down and the actual doors, which look like they're wood, but you have a strong suspicion that there's more going on than just them being pieces of wood.
Oh, yeah. So I can't see through. I thought she, like, opened the door and then something fell down.
No.
Yeah, no. I created a trap. Can I get my foot out from under the door?
That would require a strength athletics check to lift the bars.
Can I assist?
Oh, you could. With your rolls, you could probably just do it. But go ahead and give me a strength athletics check, either one of you.
I'm going to help.
Yes.
Well, my helping. Vizier said she's helping.
My helping that gives you advantage.
Yes. Fahim has advantage on that roll. Because a 6 ain't going to do it.
Especially and that one would normally be 5.
Oh,
jeez.
Well, that's not a 1.
Well, it's pinning a different toe.
Eric went with Bryn, right?
Yeah.
And so did Anka.
This is your lifeline.
I'm going to cast Detect Magic on the door.
I'm going to take a different tactic.
The door's so bright, you got to wear shades.
Oh, damn.
I'm going to cast Disguise Self and turn myself into Eric.
You know that doesn't actually change your stats, right?
I know.
Okay.
You idiots, get me out of here.
He said it. I didn't.
Shit.
Well, currently, Mazira's disguise is Eric. So it sounds exactly like Eric said it.
So it's true. Yeah.
I couldn't tell if that was an out of character or an in character statement.
It works in character though, considering.
I blame that Eric picked Eric as his character name.
Yes, I was about to note this.
And everything just went downhill from there, which, although, as the DM, I'm kind of here for this content.
So, as we wait for
what happened there with a particular attempt at bluffing, we're going to switch over to Onka, Bryn, and the Gnolls, and Eric all come around the corner to see a creature that looks like an anthropomorphic jackal trying to make the hole that Chip has scurried under a bit larger. And this creature's going, "Come here, little rat. Come here. I have cheese. I'll give you cheese. I'll give you
part of a fish person. Oh, it can understand common. It can understand common. Suggestion, run!"
What roll do I have to make for suggestion?
Wisdom saving throw.
Yeah, wisdom saving throw.
15. DC 15.
Okay. So, fun fact. The creature that you attempted this on has a wisdom saving throw bonus of +7.
Oh. Ooh. Why is it so wise?
Class levels.
Mm. but I rolled a 2.
Lucky duck.
Maybe Mo can get you out. I'll go find Mo. And he runs off.
Bryn is going to go over to the hole and hold out a hand for Chip to climb on.
You have acquired one Chip. You raise it above your head and you hear da 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 da. Chip holds the gem above Chip's head and Chip hears da 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 da. Now, how long does suggestion last for?
Suggestion lasts for concentration up to 8 hours.
Okay. So
that was a really strange creature that just attacked or tried to eat Chip.
Let's leave before we find out.
I mean, does it know Mo? I mean, that's weird.
I think he said Bo.
Oh.
He said Mo.
Oh. I misheard you then.
Ah, all
right. Right, time to head back to the palace.
Yes, let's go.
The DM breathes a sigh of relief. Okay, jump cut to you've arrived in front of the palace. Eric, you see that they have attempted to get through the front gate. There's additional... that they have released the bar security system that says that Mazir was not quite as good at picking locks as was required. Also, Mazir looks like you again.
Well, she looked like his brother last time, I think.
Ah, true. But Eric's seen Mazir do the shape-shifting thing before, so...
Yes, yes.
I'm not going to require a roll for you to be aware this is a trick. Also, there's two Erics.
First of all, you got the mole on the wrong side of your nose. So that tell you, you wouldn't have passed it anyway. Secondly, let me go ahead and open.
That'll be a strength athletics check.
I'll dismiss the disguise self. I just needed to get the portcullis off my foot.
I ask the gnolls to help out with the lifting.
There's an out of context quote.
I just needed the portcullis off my foot.
Apt.
Yeah.
All right. Here it comes. All right. So with a mighty 16, I'm not going to say that you do the thing where you just shove the portcullis and it goes all the way back up like in Princess Bride, but you do lift it more than high enough for Mazir to be slightly less imprisoned. So, Mazir, your foot is free. Bryn could walk under the portcullis without scraping the top of her head. The rest of you would have to duck.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Eric lets go, in which case it's going to fall right back down.
I'm holding it!
I squawk and just kind of wave at the door. Like, open it? I don't know, would shatter help?
Well, that depends. Do you intend to cast it so that Eric is within range of it?
Oh, true. And, or would dispel magic work?
You don't know. You know the door is incredibly magical.
It's super magic. So, actually, I look at Eric because he lives here sometimes. And I look at him.
Sometimes, not all the time.
But you don't know these words. I'm not saying them out loud. You don't know what I'm saying.
You don't happen to have a key, do you?
But yeah, the thing is that I look at him and I point at the door and, like, you know, kind of to obviously say, like, and what do we do?
Right now, I believe he's holding it.
He's holding the
So you're
going to
need to find the latrine soon.
Bryn, can you have your Knowles hold up the gate?
Good idea. Knowles, do you think you can hold that up?
They're holding the gate.
Oh, okay.
Squawk.
Huh?
I don't speak English.
You don't speak, period.
I don't speak. I gesture very wildly at the door and at you.
We've tried kicking the door and that didn't work, so we're out of ideas.
I don't have a key.
That's another out of context.
I could try to locate object nearest key.
It's probably inside, though.
Yeah.
I pull out my wand, my magic whatever.
So, what's Monsieur saying?
Can I take 20?
Take 20?
What?
I know the premise of taking 10, which we don't do. You want to take a natural 20?
It's a thing from third edition.
Yeah, but that implies you're doing something that normally takes a few minutes and you're taking several hours to just try and try and try over again.
The gnolls will get tired.
Probably.
I will allow you to make another attempt at the lock.
All right, I'll give it one more try.
If Mazir rolls low, the gnolls get too tired and let go of the gate.
Oh, no.
I'm going to use Mage Hand this time.
Good plan.
Learning has been demonstrated. And that's a dirty 20.
Hey.
Oh, you know, that last tumbler, you had to turn that counterclockwise instead of clockwise. Oh, it's obvious.
Modern locks.
It's a rookie mistake, really. You feel bad, but you don't tell everyone else about it.
You just kind of take in that goodness.
Yes.
So there's a small click. And the door the double doors just open up gracefully. And you see an ornate hallway. Actually, Eric, what's this hallway look like?
When you walk in?
Yeah.
It's ornate.
Nothing.
I'm trying to think.
This is what happens when I let you design a kingdom. You've designed a kingdom.
Hold on, let me go through, because I actually have notes on this.
So while he's trying to remember it, I just want to let it be known that Paige immediately runs forward, pushes the doors open in, like, that sweeping gesture, and, like, goes inside. Not so far, but, like, has to, like, be the first one to, like, phew.
So the inside of the walls is kind of like a, it's kind of like a, not really a circular or oval type kind of entryway when you walk in. The surrounding walls, I don't know if I want to get into much detail, but it's kind of made of a shiny, it's not like nothing you've seen before. The inside of the wall, when you look at it, besides all of the pillars the what do you call those? The big flags that are on walls and stuff like that.
Tapestries.
That have tapestries. Yeah. The tapestries, and behind them, the walls are shiny, kind of like a white, but kind of a metallic white. You kind of don't know what it is. Maybe if you do a check, you can. But it's kind of a metallic white. You can kind of sense, kind of give a sense of why this thing, this area can withstand a volcano in it. The floor is kind of a black, kind of shiny tile that continues and follows it through. There are pillars in the middle as you're walking through it. on each side of the walkway going toward the inside of the palace. And then it kind of opens up into another room. And there's a kind of like a, should be guards there. I don't know if there's guards there, but there should be guards there or paladins there.
You don't see anyone other than your party.
That's not good.
Paige is staring at the walls in wonder and patting them quietly.
All right.
Yeah, so, they're very shiny.
Eric, I'm a bird. You hear a voice in your head. You recognize the voice. Well, I suppose you just had to rejoin your family. Right. You know where to find me. Come say hi. And with that, we're going to take a 5-minute break.
Wow.
Tweet. Tweet.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was my niece, Lucia.
All right. And we're back.
Hello.
Yay.
Where we left off, Eric, you received a psychic message saying, hey, you know that one room? You should probably go there. We're waiting for you. We have your family.
Well, that's nice. They sound friendly.
They might have cake. it wasn't said that they had cake. It could have been implied. You got to read between the lines.
It was inferred. Okay.
Unfortunately, we're going to have some trouble. We need to follow me.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go.
I've still got Ulfgar's hammer. I might be able to do something.
So, use it in good health.
Mm-hmm.
to limit the health of others.
Yes.
Yes.
So I know what good health is.
Yeah.
My doctor lied to me.
He calls it his fixer. You know, you got a whole body and some unbroken bones. I can fix that for you.
It's percussive adjustment.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. This is what happens when your cleric is a half-orc.
Yeah. Wait, you mean chiropractors shouldn't be that?
Guys, don't scuff the floor. All right, so as we continue walking down.
Bird is still petting the walls as we're walking.
Very much so. The floor is as shiny
lava.
As it's
the floor is lava. Wait, no.
As Long shiny stories. As it's going to be. The corridor kind of gets tinier before it opens up. The corridor that you're walking through, kind of opening is a choke point, just in case anybody tries to get in. Now, unfortunately, as you look at the walls, they're not going to break. Usually from conventional weaponry, so the choke point's pretty effective. As you walk past the choke point, the room kind of opens up. What you see is kind of stairs either on either side of a massive pillar in the middle of the hallway, or the room that opens up. Both sides kind of go around as far as the stairs. The picture I put there of the stair is kind of like an example of how it kind of goes up, just on both sides, not just one side.
Oh, that picture of stairs.
It's kind of ominous.
Yeah, past all the baby pictures.
Yeah, that's why. Took me a moment.
Along the wall, as you're walking up the stairs, there are kind of murals, and it's kind of colorful. Kind of has a metallic yellow, white. Shapes, rectangles as you're walking up up the stairs. When you get to the top, of the actual stairs, the walls actually now they're kind of royal, more of regal that you would see in a kind of a throne room or something like that. The difference on it is instead of having armor in there, from on each side of the walls, it's now swords, it's axes, it's shields. Perez kind of line, this whole area of the palace was decorated in kind of how, you know, paladins' weaponry and stuff like that. They're really focused on their weapons and how they're attacking in combat. In the middle of the room, you kind of see a circle on the floor where you assume there's going to be some sort of combat and trials that happen in this particular circle of the room as you get to the top of the stairs with a, not really a throne. All the seats are around are exactly the same size. Plantain, even though it's a matriarch kind of leadership, all of the chairs are exactly the same. Everybody has the same opinions. Everybody's opinion is equal. That's kind of how we have it at this particular moment.
Okay.
I flop down in one of the chairs. I'm looking around, but I just feel like I should be comfy.
Is this place empty we're going into?
It's not empty. Okay. Now, in the center portion where various things might take place, that seems to be empty. The chairs that might contain an audience are empty except for a small bird that is putting its hind legs up on the chair in front of it in a way that perhaps has not done so much in here usually, but they seem to be relaxed.
Paige, it echoes in this chamber.
It echoes in this chamber?
What have you done? What have you done?
I start testing that out. And I'm scurrying around the room to figure out how the acoustics works in each corner.
So there is a balcony area. There are stairs that lead up to it. And it goes around the entire top, like the second floor area of this. And there's doors that lead to various locations up there. Eric can tell you it leads to like offices and staterooms and stuff, depending on which direction you head. And
the awesomest bathroom known to man. Just saying.
Well, it goes without saying, which is why I didn't say it, but you had to bring it up. So, okay. Yes. The most awesomest bathroom happens to be in this fortress made of volcanic and impossible to destroy rock. So while you're distracted by a small bird that is discovering echolocation, you hear a familiar voice go, "Eric!" And as you turn, you see Lilia standing next to... she's in a group. She seems to have joined a band. It is not Bryn and the Knolls. This is a rival band.
No, we're over here.
Bryn and the Knolls is more punk rock. This is more pop rock, where a corporation formed the band.
Oh.
In an audition process. Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, the man. Yeah.
And it's one of the bands where the record company looked at... There were other bands that were successful in that niche, so they just made one to copy it, so they're all carbon copies of each other. Like,
worst.
They're not even the Monkees. They're the ripoff band that ripped off the Monkees, which itself was a ripoff.
Right, yes.
So basically,
you're so out.
The corporation cast mirror image?
Yes, not on themselves. So... There's a variety of people here. There are some very tall individuals who you assume, just from their height, are more Goliaths, but they are dressed in dark, ominous-looking robes with the hoods drawn over their faces. Your brother and father, who look to be bound, and it looks like they've had a once-over or a twice-over, perhaps. They're not at full hit points, let's put it that way. Matter of fact, they're not really standing up so much. Lilia is standing. She appears to be unharmed, and she is standing up against the railing with... Now I've got to bring my notes closer to my face so I can see. Dang it, I can't read my own handwriting. The evil person in your notes, Alta something.
Alta Gracia.
Yeah, I made an alt to level with you. Gracias.
So basically, it's alta, change, gracia. So, alta gracia.
Okay. Well, she's there, and the voice you heard was Lilia calling out. And alta gracia is just standing there with a very smug expression on her face. Oh, you also see to the side of this group, but close enough that he's part of it. You see Sanctimonious.
What? Huh?
And he's holding a small dog.
The little dog, and, too?
And petting it in the way that a mud scientist will pet a cat, but instead it's small dog named Mutt.
I've stopped making bird calls.
Didn't we leave Sanctimonious back at the tower?
Sanctimonious was seven sheets to the wind when you last saw him.
In the bar. Mm-hmm.
Then the volcano erupted.
Right.
And the party split.
Do I see Arlok anywhere?
You do not.
Okay, everybody. You need to make sure you're looking for a big Goliath. His name is Arlok. He is very strong. We have to make sure we watch out for him. What are you doing with my family, Altagracia?
Sanctimonious, what's going on?
Altagracia says, what am I doing with your family? Why, I saved their lives. They were so interested in throwing them away. I made sure they would stop doing that.
That's not menacing at all.
I don't understand.
Perception checks.
All of us?
Everyone?
Anyone who's looking up at this group.
I have a passive perception of 16. Does that help?
I rolled a 16. Does that help?
1 second.
I think I have a total of 10, so...
Is that perception?
I got a dirty 20.
Woo-hoo. But he's going to notice.
I got a 17.
You don't notice.
Well, that's fine.
And that's an 8.
I'm being a little sneaky. I'm trying to pay attention.
Well, and that's good. But you're caught up in the whole drama of, it was you all along. Who are you?
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on, so I'm kind of just, like, looking at him, like, what the heck, but I'm not, like, looking.
Yeah, you recognize Sanctimonious. It's a little weird that he's up there, but the rest of them are like, who are you people? I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm just a bird.
Look, everybody. Altagracia does not like my family at all, and she's, from what I understand, she's been secretly training my little sister. We need to make sure that we watch out for Arlok. However, she is the strongest warlock I know, so you guys need to be careful.
Excuse you.
He does not yet know your true power of being able to teleport on top of a palm tree and then throw magical rocks down at Murlocs.
No. You didn't see the fact that I destroyed a ton of those Murlocs at once.
Yes, with one shatter. But in any case, Fahim, you notice...
I am a little offended.
Fahim, with your high roll, you are the only one who notices one of these Goliaths is still moving around a bit while the others are just, you know, posed and looking menacing with their dark robes and everything. This particular robe has moved directly behind the two guys that kind of look like Eric, but you can't see much more than that. But they moved between, like, they were standing behind the older Eric, and now they've moved over to the younger Eric.
And
Sanctimonious takes a moment when Eric is giving orders about how you got to watch for these people and all. Sanctimonious, of course, is going to talk over Eric because he's going to talk over Eric.
They have a history of this, yes.
Yes. And he looks down at Bryn, who was asking, what are you doing up there? And he says, oh, come now, Bryn. You are not that naive, are you?
Well, mostly I'm a little bit confused about what's going on in general. I mean, obviously, betrayals, people capturing other people, etc., etc.
Young lady, I must say, you say that like it's a bad thing. Really, it's just making the best of an opportune situation. You traveled with me long enough to know I always pick the winning side. And then he looks over and he says, now! And the who was moving, the hood flies back to show another hood. And inside that hood is another hood. It's a bunch of Russian dolls. No. Inside that hood, you see Peter's face just beaming through, and he says, hi, I'm a distraction.
Where did they get Peter from?
And, oh, that's not a good sign.
Remember the last thing you were told that Bryn told the empty cloak to do?
Protect Peter.
He's wearing the empty cloak. The cloak is following the rules.
Oh, okay. You didn't
say where they had to stay. You just said protect Peter. That's true. So the empty cloak with Peter inside swoops over, grabs Lilia. There's a yoink, and they go out through a door that apparently this whole group of menacing figures had come through originally.
Okay.
At the same moment,
Sanctimonious, for the record,
yes,
I appreciate that this palace has been built to be lava-proof.
Oh, this is very useful information because this is the point where Sanctimonious casts Wall of Flame.
This palace has been built to be lava-proof and has survived for generations, but Sanctimonious is inside, so we're guaranteed it's going to burn down.
Yeah. There might be a few relics that do not survive this encounter, including all the ones that are currently inside the Wall of Fire that is preventing anyone from following Peter, Lilia, and the Empty Cloak as they get out of harm's way.
Can I step over it?
I'm going to get to the second floor as fast as I can.
Well, I think at this point, it's safe to say we're going to roll for initiative.
We're going to roll for initiative.
Ulfgar, I'm going to want to roll for you as well.
So I have a question for this. Last time I had to roll for initiative, I didn't actually do it. Because, you know, it was a tree. do I do the plus, like my plus initiative thing?
Yes, you will add that to your d20 roll.
I just wanted to make sure.
Anytime you're not sure, go ahead and ask. It will not. It's not the first time we've had a new player.
Can't argue with a 19.
Yeah, I've rolled a 20, but my initiative is minus 1, so I have a 19 as well.
So we have 19, 19, 19, 18, 18, 16, 10.
I'm
Who's
upset.
Last?
Somehow I'm last, even though I have a high initiative bonus and probably the fastest movement speed.
Yeah, no kidding. So hang on a second. We have... Eric goes first, Millie goes second, Onka goes third, hang on, Ulfgar and Bryn go at the same time. You might have to have a roll-off.
Roll-off!
I might just wing it. And you said we had a 10 as well, I'm assuming that's Fahim?
Yes.
Yeah, Mazir goes at 16, and Fahim goes at 10.
Me and Eric have the same roll.
Yeah, so far as the official rules are, if there is a tie, it's happening simultaneously. You can house rule it and say whoever has the highest modifier goes first, which is what I like to do. But really, officially, everyone's going at the same time. So I should probably roll for Alta Gracia.
It's easiest to do it with the bonus, tracking by the bonuses if you've got multiples the same. Just cause, so you don't have people talking over each other.
Okay. And I should probably roll for the Perez's.
So one of them's not doing well.
Well, I rolled for them as a group, and you're right.
So as soon as you said we're going to roll for initiative, this song popped in my head, and it is on! Let us do this!
Yeah, I can't click that, because that'll be streamed.
I'll click it later.
Everybody else can listen,
but not with their mics on.
Oh yeah, right.
Well, the last three episodes of this game have all been names of Bastille songs from the same album.
Yeah. Oh, what's this one named?
Icarus.
So we're marching to Bastille Day.
Eric, what would you like to do?
Oh, I'm rushing it. I'll take that. As soon as Magnus rushes in.
Doing the unpredictable route. Never would have guessed that.
Yeah, as soon as Lilia got past, she got free, it is on.
Okay. And there are several Goliaths that are moving to intercept.
Do it.
That's cute.
let's see.
I will tell you that you can get up to her, but it'll be a double move.
Oh, that far away, huh? Okay. Okay, so I'm going to move. I'll move 30. I'm assuming if there's a Goliath going to be in my way when I get there.
You'd be able to strike at her But it's obvious from them being able to see what you're obviously doing that they're going to disagree with your course of action.
Weird. Understand. Okay, so I'd like to go 30 and kind of wind up, and I'm going to chuck one of my hand axes right her face.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was looking at her character sheet waiting for me to tell what the roll was, and I look back and, oh, you got a 23. Oh, I don't think I really needed to check her character sheet to see if that would hit.
No.
That looks like it's probably going to hit. Well, she's got mage armor. That's still going to hit. So, roll for damage from axe to face.
Wow.
Eric has cast axe to face.
Oh, that's my favorite spell.
It's one of his first level spells. Alta Gracia is weak against axe to face. It's super effective. A mighty 9 points of damage for axe to face.
Is there anybody? So I've been 30. I want to use my second attack. Is there anybody around me?
No one is within striking distance of you.
Okay. I don't have two axes.
They were thinking you were just going to give up because they had the high ground. That meant it was over.
No, not at all.
Anakin.
Us Perez's don't believe in high ground.
Hills
your dad
real.
And your brother have the high ground as well. They're up there.
You choose hills to disbelieve real. In the high ground.
Okay, so what would be the modifier if I was to try? Because I don't have, I have a battle axe on my back, and I also have my sword, which I'm using and readied. I also have my shield, though. Would it be an issue if I was to throw the battle axe? It's a little bigger, but hey, it can do its thing. I don't know if that would take more time to ready the battle axe to throw. What do you think?
You're not proficient in throwing battle axe, so that would be
no, I'm not.
It might not work.
An improvised weapon.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So I'll wait. I'll not wait. I'll stop my.
Okay, Paige, you've just been told that this lady in front of you is the most powerful warlock. You feel slightly insulted.
I am not.
What would you like to do?
How far away is everyone? Like, what am I looking at other than pretty walls?
As the bird flies, it's about the same distance because you can't. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. Thanks.
I know, too soon. Hashtag too soon. They're about 45 feet away from you, including a staircase.
45 feet away from me, including a staircase.
Yes.
Is anyone in between me and this poser?
Well, Lilia was briefly, but she got yeeted out of there.
Okay, that's what I care about. Because, you know... I might want to shoot something at this lady, and I want to make sure there's no, like... feel like it would be really hard for me to keep in with my new, like, group if I kill someone's sister.
No. there may have been an ingenious plan to prevent her from being in harm's way.
Okay, good. Because I think I'm just going to start right off with, let me see. I think I'm just going to start right off with an Eldritch Blast.
It's a classic.
I mean, it's a warlock classic, and I have to prove I'm the best warlock. So it has a +7 on my thing. Does that mean it's a hit +7?
You roll like your d20 and add 7 to the roll.
Okay. I just want to make sure I do this right, because before I was just throwing a giant bomb at something. Less aiming, more boom.
If this goes boom, you've cast Eldritch Blast either wrong or very, very,
very, wrong. Very right.
Very right.
And I get 2 beams.
Wild magic, baby. Wild magic.
A 13 is going to... basically, you shoot the Eldritch Blast. It looks like it flies true, and something stops it from hitting her.
But I get the 2 beams. She's smart. Do I still do the second?
It's a good question. I don't play Warlocks a lot, so I got to look up Eldritch.
Yeah, because I get 2 beams now that I'm level 5.
I believe you do. You simply roll twice. Yeah,
yeah, separate attack. Okay.
So go ahead and roll again.
Oh, gosh. But, yeah, okay. You would think the +7 would make it go well. Much better. Much better.
Well,
that's
a dirty 20. Okay, so the first beam goes and bounces off the mage armor. Alta Gracia smirks. And then the other one hits her... right where the axe bounced off.
Yeah.
Pew, pew.
Nice. Okay, so then I do a 1d10 +7?
If it says you have, if that's your damage, then yeah.
Yes, my spell attack is plus 7. Okay.
That's your attack, not your what you add to damage. Okay. Do you have the warlock thing that adds your charisma modifier to damage Feldritch Blast or no?
I don't know.
I am opening up your character sheet. Hold on.
Because it says plus 7 spell attack.
So your damage is just going to be a 1d10. Okay. The plus 7 is for hitting.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure.
That bonus is typically an invocation choice, and you do not show it listed on your character sheet.
I don't know.
No worries. A d10 is still good.
Oh, wrong way.
Maybe a firebolt.
For an at-will spell, a d10 is really nice.
I did seven times.
Aristobulus will attest to the fact of firebolts of d10s are very nice.
I mean, granted, there is one character that managed to do over 200 points of damage with a firebolt. But they're famous. There's a star named after them.
Yeah.
I did say
that. Put in the sky. From a crit fail. But never mind about that.
I did not do over 200 points of damage with a firebolt.
No, because your name's
There's an incinerated T-Rex that had to be undead.
That was a chromatic orb.
Okay.
Oh, right.
I was misremembering that. You still did a lot of damage.
An excessive amount of damage.
Yes, copious amounts.
All right. So anyways, I shoot that. And then are there any columns near me?
Yeah.
Can I go run behind it?
You've got your movement. I will say that there's a column within 30 feet of you, so yeah.
I run behind it because I'm a bird.
There are many columns in this room.
Yeah, I'm a bird, and I have, like, all of my points in deception. So, like, let me hide.
That would be more stealth, but okay. using deception to hide is like, you don't see me. I'm not really here.
Everyone be quiet.
I apologize for interrupting.
Yes.
But Millie and Io, you both have familiars?
Yes.
My octopus is sitting on top of my head.
Do they go on their own thing and not on mine?
They go on their own initiative.
I'm going to suggest that we make an exception tonight because we've already been recording for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's
that we
fair
just
enough.
Say they go during your turn.
That's cool.
Because that's just one more thing.
Is sitting on top of my head, being my pair of eyes.
Okay.
But also looking in the same direction as you, so.
Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of like I'm wearing a hat.
Yes.
Me and my octopus haven't practiced battle tactics yet. I do science.
Science of battle tactics. All right, well, Unka, it's your turn.
Okay, so explain to me where the wall of fire is in relation to where I'm at.
It is silhouetting all of your opponents.
Okay.
And a couple of your allies.
Okay.
Basically, it was cast to cover Peter's escape. It may have actually set on fire some of the robed figures. They are expressing their discomfort in a variety of means, some of which I cannot say out loud because this podcast is rated PG.
Right. Okay, so... Okay, so I'm going to try and do the create water spell. And you create 10 gallons of clean water that can rain down in a 30-foot cube area to kind of maybe clear some of the flames away so we can get in.
The flames are not between you and your targets.
That's the part I didn't understand.
Your targets and a rapidly fleeing Peter and empty cloak.
Okay, see, that's the part I didn't get. I thought that it circled everything. Okay, so then forget that.
Sanctimonious and Peter are making their escape.
Sanctimonious left as well?
I thought. Didn't he cast the wall of
fire?
No,
Sanctimonious is still here.
How far away is he? He's right up there. Okay, how far away is he?
He's maybe 50 feet.
Okay, I'm going to cast my spiritual weapon and hit him with it.
Okay.
All
right, roll.
Hit
who?
Sanctimonious.
Oh.
I got a 13 on the dice. I don't know what I'm rolling against exactly.
His armor class, which I'm going to have to look up real quick.
Okay.
I have it.
Yeah, I don't want him casting anything else, and I'm kind of mad at him.
I wouldn't disagree, but that's fair.
Hmm?
It's fair.
Wait, did he cast the wall of fire?
Yeah.
He did. What did you roll again?
I rolled a 13.
Wait a minute, he's covering the 13
bounces off of him. And he's like, wait a minute, don't you get I'm on your side.
What? Still not happy.
I mean, that's valid.
But... Wait, what?
I am a half-orc. Be lucky I cast a spiritual weapon at you.
Did you just hit Sanctimonious?
Yes.
No, it bounced off his mage.
I bounced off of him? Well, I attempted it.
She did an official D&D clapback.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you made sure that the one player character's sister and the orphan that you adopted and the magical cloak that if anything happened to it, Bryn would kill everyone in the room and then herself. He made sure all of them were safe. Then you hit him with the spiritual weapon.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all.
All right.
And I know that he tends to set things on fire and it goes badly, and I'm just like not having it.
All right. Well, Ulfgar, is there anything... Oh, wait. I didn't explain how Ulfgar's coming in the scene.
No.
So, Eric, what's Ulfgar's the ceiling look like?
That there's a fire now.
What?
What?
What's the ceiling look like?
Ceiling is very high above, which is surprising based upon the structure of the place. And it's kind of a dome, if you will.
Okay.
And it kind of has lights that come down, or not lights, I'm sorry, torches that come down that can kind of see everything. And they're all made of silver. So,
okay. That sounds very fancy. It sounds very expensive.
Uh-oh.
Very much so.
I'm not hearing the word durable.
No, look. The walls are durable. Inside.
So, the passenger compartment of an adamantine dirigible breaks through the dome. And a very furious female gnome is on the catwalk that goes around the passenger compartment. And she jumps off the catwalk, opens an umbrella partway down that prevents her from taking fall damage, and lands there. She's in full armor, plate mail, wielding a glowing warhammer, and she just says, "You wrecked my honeymoon!"
Oh, no.
Luminous is one of my favorite NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
Ulfgar, you're hanging up there, too. I imagine you do not try to jump down?
Well, as I cannot slow the fall...
There's an umbrella there for you if you want it. But
okay, I will jump out.
You are outside of melee range, so I leave
that's
it up
okay.
to you.
That's okay. I have longer range spells. Can he see the Goliaths?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so
you have an aerial view. There's some of the party that you can't see because you'd have to look through the catwalk, but you can see all the opponents. Right.
So I've got a spell in mind. How many Goliaths seem to be interfering with Eric's progress?
It looks like there's four of them that are going to move to intercept. There's more than four. Some of them are headed towards Sanctimonious. Some of them are flailing and regretting life choices because they were just a little too close to that wall of fire that just popped out of nowhere. It, against all OSHA regulations.
All right. Ulfgar will attempt to get as many of the Goliaths that would be within a 40-foot cube near Eric and attempt to cast Slow upon them.
Okay. So that's four rolls for me then?
Yes, four wisdom saves, DC 15, and he will maintain concentration on that for as long as possible. And for I have to run out. I have to go pick up my son from work. So in the meantime, he will concentrate on that spell and occasionally cast the odd firebolt at a nearby enemy until I can return.
One made the save. The other three are going, "We'll stop you, Eric."
Three out of four ain't bad.
All right.
Works for me, man. Thanks.
3 out of 4 ain't bad. Yep. They are minus two to their AC, minus two to dex saves. They can only take actions or moves. They may not do both. I'm sorry, actions or bonus actions, not both. And their movement is slowed, and they cannot take reactions.
It's the clown fight, part two.
Yep.
It is. Part two, yep.
Except, instead of clowns, we have giants, or sort of giants.
Giant kin.
Okay. And I'm going to head out, so cantrips and concentration for the next round at least, until hopefully I can return.
All right. Bryn, I'm also going to say that your army of gnolls works on your turn as well, because that's a ton of rolls I don't want to have to deal with.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it's your turn.
People are knocking on the door again. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
How many Goliaths are there?
From where you are, you could see at least 4 that look like they're in play, although some of them are moving slower than they were before. There are others that look like they're on fire. And there might be 1 or 2 that are moving towards Sanctimonious that may or may not also be on fire. The difference might just be verb tense.
Dubious amounts of fire.
Okay.
That sounds like a good
Gnolls, go after for the those 4, the ones in play. 2 gnolls per. And Brim's going to... How many are moving towards Sanctimonious?
Oh, maybe 3.
Brim is going to cast Cause Fear in a 3rd level spell slot.
Okay.
And
what do I
target
have to roll?
Those 3. Wisdom saving throws, DC 15.
Well, would you accept a 1?
Oh, no.
Oh.
And an 8 and a 5. But I haven't added the wisdom bonus. That doesn't help them.
They are frightened until they manage to make their saving throw at the end of one of their turns.
Okay, so their attack rolls are going to be at disadvantage for as long as they can see you, and they certainly aren't going to jump over the banister to come towards you. Not anytime soon. All right, and the gnolls rush forward, and you told them to go stop those Goliaths, so they double move, and you got 2 gnolls in front of each Goliath, which means they cannot attack. Mazir,
mm-hmm.
Your turn.
The warlock... whose name I've lost.
Altagracia. I keep having to look at my notes too. I blame Eric.
The poser.
The pretender to the throne of most powerful warlock.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling that one.
Well, wait until initiative level 12. Then you'll find out.
My raven, is going to harass her and give me the help action.
Okie doke.
Which means, click a button. Would I attack with my crossbow? I roll a damn 11.
Aww.
So the bolt doesn't even bounce off of Altagracia. It misses entirely.
Yes.
But you look cool doing it.
Style points. Add +3 to your style points.
Yes, award yourself 3 style points.
Goes to your steed, your style and ease.
If only I still had that inspiration.
Oh.
But you used it, making sure we didn't die in a doorway.
Yes.
All right. It's the Goliath's turn.
No, it's not. I still have a bonus action.
Okay, fine. I will allow you to follow the game mechanics as written. Because I am a gracious DM who giveth and taketh away and taketh away and taketh away. But also
I use the dash bonus action as a cunning action to give me double movement and my slippers to get me to the mezzanine level.
Okie doke.
And that's it.
Okay. So now you're within melee attack as well.
Sure.
All right. The Goliaths go. One of the slowed ones sees a wild Mazir appear. It throws a Pokeball. In which case, the Pokeball looks like a large axe. It's one of those aftermarket ones.
Oh.
I don't believe a 5 is going to manage against your AC.
No.
No, because it's slowed, so I've got to roll low. Oh, well.
Yeah, tragically not.
All right. And one of them's going to go after a gnoll.
Remember the frightened... No, wait, these aren't the frightened ones. These are the slowed ones.
Well, but either way, disadvantage.
Hmm, yeah.
That's a 3. And the last one is not slowed. All right, the last one manages to swat one of the gnolls with a rolled-up newspaper that looks like a battle axe, and it goes off of the stairs over the side. There's a small yelp.
Poor puppy.
The ones that are going after Sanctimonious, that's a 4. That's a 3. That's a 4. Actually, no, I'm wrong. That's a 2.
I was really hoping we were going to keep counting down.
There are bonuses to their hits, but they're not high enough to get the mage armor. So, the one Goliath kind of did something, but the others have been not very useful. Sanctimonious' turn. Hello and welcome to Hit in Abyss, where the DM is playing all the characters all the time. What will Sanctimonious do?
That was Anka's question at the beginning.
Cry.
Crying is a free action.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he still won't do it.
No, he will complain. Complaining is also a free action.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is nice. He's going to cast Scorching Ray.
Cool.
Yes. And
okay. But who's Ray?
That's Goliath number 3, one of the Goliaths that got feared. He's Ray. The other two are named Egon and Winston. All right. There are now more Goliaths that are still alive, but very badly burned, who are regretting several decisions that they've made that led them to this point.
I mean, okay, just because it was a bad friendship doesn't mean you have to stay burned forever.
Yeah, but I think they're wishing that they had been Peter, who we've already had in the campaign and left.
Yes, this is true. So, Eric and Mazir.
Yes.
You're both in range of this particular spell, so I'm going to need both of you to make a strength saving throw. Looks like the target number is 15.
Who needs a strength saving throw?
Altagracia would like you to make a strength... Actually, she'd like you to fail the strength saving throw. If you could fail it, that'd be great.
But we'll start off with make.
All right, I'll do my best.
Well, Eric has provided the service that Altagracia was requesting. You missed it by 1 point.
Oh,
do I
have to
gosh.
Make one?
What's the target number?
You're... Paige is not within range of the effects of the spell. Paige is fine.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
A 3's not going to make any sense.
No.
Can I give Vizier my inspiration so she can try again?
I will allow it.
I'm going to do it.
That's beautiful.
I have some inspiration.
A 17 will make it.
That's a 17.
There you go.
The one time that passing inspiration has worked.
Worked.
To be fair, we've only done it like twice.
All right. So black tentacles of energy erupt from the staircase and the top of the mezzanine and wrap around you. And Mazir remembers some kind words, some inspirational statements that Onka shared at one point over a campfire. Something about a small cat hanging from a branch and hanging in there. You don't know, but you're able to
break through. I keep my head around and go, oh, that one.
The big, beefy fighter, on the other hand, it is thoroughly entangled. And you're both going to take damage, but Mazir's going to take half damage.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I should cast damage. Counterspell. I keep forgetting I have that.
Wait, you cast Counterspell?
No, I keep forgetting I have it.
Has not.
I should not cast Counterspell and ruin Mazir's moment of strength saving throw triumph.
Yes.
That's 8 points of damage. I'll just get it then.
Yeah, Eric, you eat 8 points of damage. Mazir, you take 4. And Altagracia looks down at the pillar that a small burb might be hiding behind. Successfully or unsuccessfully, because the burb attempted to use
I'm
deception.
Not here!
Hey,
little one, you seem like a kindred spirit. Why have you allied yourself with the likes of these?
Bill Nye, the science guy.
You are. Very confusing. But at the same time,
so,
you are
to be
destined
clear,
for so much more. What's this?
To be clear, I can tell that Altagracia cast this spell.
Oh, yes.
All right. Then she's got to make a dex saving throw at 16.
What's the range for Hellish Rebuke?
Oh, my gosh.
60 feet.
She teleports 61 feet away. No. She hammer dances 61 feet away from you.
Oh.
Can't touch this.
Let's see. Well, let me look up her dexterity bonus for that.
16 is the DC.
I was looking to see if it was a minus because I rolled a 19 on the die.
Ah.
Yeah. She does not have a minus.
Only pluses.
So, does she take damage from a save?
Yes. Yes, she takes 8 damage.
What kind of damage?
The painful type.
Fire damage.
Okay. She is not resistant to fire damage. Sanctimonious' eyebrow raises and goes, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how we're playing this.
Somewhere on the other side of the world, Zeely raises an eyebrow and goes, oh, really?
Oh, really?
So you're in a building that is totally impervious to fire damage, but you're not.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's good to know. Filing under that, under very important info.
Yeah, and one of the characters who's closest to you is a tiefling and therefore resistant to fire damage.
Really?
Oh, my.
I'm just going to add this tidbit of information to the equation. Right after the MC squared portion. Yep. Okay. Yep. This is the thing. On that note, Fahim, you've been sitting around, passing the time. There were no locks for you to pick.
Or kick.
Well, that's how Fahim picks locks.
Yes.
What would you like to do?
All right. You said the warlock we're fighting is 45 feet away, right?
At this point, yes.
That happens to be my movement speed exactly, so I'm running up, and I'm going to try punching her 4 times, spending a key point to do the full flurry of blows thing.
Okay. There's going to be one attack of opportunity because you're running past one Goliath that is not slowed. The others are like, wait.
Please stop.
Darn. I'll get you, you rabbit. Let's see. What's their bonus to hit? Their bonus to hit is 5. So that would make that a 21.
My armor class is 17, so I'm taking that damage then.
Okay, take 9 points of slashing damage as you run past.
By the way, the vocal component of Hellish Rebuke, as befits the time of the year, is no touchy.
Cusco would be pleased.
All right, so I'm not sure how to make sidekick add my bonus to all of them, but I get a +7 to every attack.
Two of those hit without adding any modifiers. You said you have +7 to hit?
Yes.
That's 3 hits. Only the 7 doesn't hit.
All right, so
I have hammer time stuck in my head.
I have provided a valuable service.
All right, so I'm rolling a +12 because that's going to be the total. Because I get +4 each attack. So total 22 damage. And since I did hit with the flurry of blows and I'm using the open palm technique, they have to see what's the save they have to make here.
So you're basically slapping this warlock upside the face repeatedly.
Yep.
For 22 points of damage, and that's not even your final form.
Well, the warlock also has to make a strength saving throw of 14, and if she fails, she's not allowed to take reactions till the end of my next turn.
Oh, well, this is going to be great because as a warlock, she's strength-based. what was my target number?
14.
I got a 14 exactly. So that's 15 on the die, but her strength is minus 1.
Attack against the roll.
So someone is not a bladelock, huh?
Nope, she's not. Far from
All right, and all four attacks plus the attempt to remove her reaction. That's my turn.
You can't touch this.
You're singing two different songs, I think.
Yes, we are.
It was a medley.
I was singing a Weird Al version of something.
Yeah.
You know, I What's can't give double middle? Inspiration.
The white stuff.
But you both get inspiration, so if two
My life is an inspiration, okay?
Hey, look, I not only used my inspiration, I used someone else's inspiration.
Yes. Game.
And now you have inspiration to use again.
Yes.
Exactly.
So far. All
right.
I'm actually using the things that the GM gives me.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Perez's are up. They go after some of the very badly burned Goliaths and start disarming them.
Good.
Yes.
Luminous. Wait a minute. I just want to make sure. This is the Perez's. When you say disarming.
Do they have arms?
Do they have arms?
Well, before or after their turn?
Yes.
After. The arms still belong to the Goliaths?
Are they up other crevices?
That would require another action.
Oh, next turn. Next turn.
They are occupied.
I refuse to make that investigation check.
So what you're saying is you passed your wisdom saving throw.
Yes.
Fahim's wisdom.
Yeah, unlike Fahim, who is burdened with terrible knowledge.
Yes.
Okay, and now it is Luminous's turn.
So happy that Luminous is here.
Just making sure, is Luminous one of us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Luminous is less than that we ruined the honeymoon.
Are we waiting for a player?
No, she's not.
Luminous is an NPC.
She's an NPC who first appeared in the main campaign when we were doing the Circulus campaign. She is a native resident of the Flying City.
My parents gave me an Alexa show for an Echo show for my birthday, and one of the stories it just handed me was McDonald's puts beehives in billboards.
Hello.
I am both intrigued and terrified.
That sounds wonderful.
I say that a lot. But moving on.
Anyway.
Yes. Wow.
You say that a lot, mostly about what I say.
Well, not just you.
I said mostly.
A wide variety of individuals.
I'm in this talk, too.
Anyway. Luminous.
I know who I am.
Luminous is very bright.
Very much so.
That's the name.
One way.
Don't wear it out.
She's also incredibly angry.
That's good.
At us?
No.
Okay.
No. At Miss gonna make a volcano explode. She came here to relax. Archbeth in chat is typing in all caps during her honeymoon. Yes.
Today, on the day of my wedding. Yeah.
All right, she casts Flame Strike.
No, that's good. Oh, she's on the fire thing, too.
It's Holy Flame.
Ooh.
Oh.
She could be... Well, let's put it this way. The stats I'm using for her are in the Monster Manual. She's a war priest.
In the what?
The book that has all the stats for NPCs and monsters and stuff. I didn't roll up a separate character sheet for her. I'm just using War Priest.
Oh.
Yes. So she can do things like summon a Holy Guardian that's just going to turn anything nearby into the aftermath of being run through a chipper shredder.
I love her.
She is.
She's cool.
Well, you know what? you're not the only PC. You're going to have to step in line because she ended up marrying Galen.
Yeah. As soon as she said honeymoon, I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
So, you know how there were four Goliaths that were, some of them were slowed?
Yeah.
I get the feeling the Goliaths are in the past tense.
Well, I did say were. Ulfgar no longer has to concentrate on his spell.
Oh, okay. So the slowed ones are gone.
Fast one didn't do too much better.
Okay.
Good.
So when Luminous does this, she doesn't turn to look behind her. Oh. She just... Actually, no, wait. I got this backwards. She did land in front of the Goliaths. So they're standing there. Rather than invoking attacks of opportunities or wasting her time with them, she just raises her hand in the air. Fire comes down. Staircase is pristine. And she says softly to the gnolls, "Get out of my way."
Well, that's a neat trick.
I like her.
Eric?
Yo.
Altagracia has considerably fewer allies at this point than she did the
she's
last time I
fire.
Said your name. What's this?
I said she's weak to fire.
Yes, Eric, so use your fire-based attacks now.
Yes.
Summon Charmander. Char!
I'm calling out to everybody who might.
And my father and brother are freed, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they are now armed.
That is wonderful. Okay,
they didn't have arms before, but
and now they have Goliath arms tied onto their shoulders.
How far are the how far is Altagracia away from?
They're about 10 feet away from her.
Let's do it.
I'm looking up Arms of Hadar and seeing how long it lasts. It looks like it just happens immediately and then goes away.
Yeah, it's a turn and then boom.
Okay, so you are no longer trapped by these tentacles. They have melted away.
I love when that happens.
And you are 15 feet away from Altagracia.
I would like to yell in a wonderful voice. I'm not going to do it in the accent because I just
I
can't do it.
I appreciate that you're not actually yelling. That's what I am appreciating. I mean, when Eo yells, we get a reverb.
True.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm going to basically shout at her and say that you'll never take High Matriarch Rafina's place. That should dagger because that's her sister. I'm going to go ahead and attack her with my S-word, as our friend Eclipse would say.
Okay.
Sword.
I will wait until her turn for you to hear her rebuttal to that statement, even though speaking is a free action. Okay. You going to add any English to that? Because a 24 is definitely going to hit. But remember, you have a certain ability with that sword. Would you like to add a smite?
I have to. Oh, that's right. Does that give me a plus?
No. It's not a bonus hit. It's bonus to damage.
It's branding smite. Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
Up to 3 times per long rest. Yeah. Let's brand smite that some gun.
And to be fair, for rules lawyers who might be listening, I do house rule it that you can declare after the hit that you've cast branding smite. You're technically supposed to declare it beforehand. But whatever. Okay. So that's 9 points of damage.
That's the sword damage, not the branding smite damage, yeah.
And 4 points of damage from the branding smite.
And that's, branding is holy, right?
I believe so.
So whoever attacks it, the next opportunity, it gets a bonus.
No, that's something different.
Oh, okay.
That would be if you were a cleric and you were casting the Glitter Bomb spell, Guiding Bolt. A branding smite, she glows with a soft glow. She can't turn invisible. It was incredibly effective in the previous campaign because it kept being used on an undead creature that would teleport away if it got into shadows. But it became a light source, so it can never teleport away. And its primary feature, because when it teleported away, it would do damage to everyone who was around it. that was his primary mode of attack. And Logan, bless him, ruined it every time.
Yeah. That's my second attack.
An 18 will also hit.
That's damage.
All right. I am noting the damage. All right. Paige.
Yes. How far away am I from this imposter?
I would say about... Well, you ran behind a pillar, so I'd say you are now about, like, 55 feet away.
Okay, let me think about that. And obviously, now I have friends all the way around.
You have two friends that are up close and personal.
So I can't just, like, blast all blasty.
Actually, no, not two friends, but Eric is right there in her face.
Friends is a weird term for it.
Well, it's... For some reason, I keep thinking that Hellish Rebuke is something where you need to be, like, right next to them.
Oh, yeah. But Fahim is there, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. So it is, too. It is, too.
Yeah. So I don't want that.
But, Millie, didn't you use Eldritch Blast last turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm
That's a single target, not an AoE, so no issues there.
It's, I'm thinking of Witch Bolt.
Oh.
Witch Bolt?
Witch Bolt is a much different spell.
Sorry, I couldn't resist the pun.
I'm just going to Eldritch Blast again, because I'm in a safe spot.
You will have to stick your head around the pillar in order to Eldritch Blast.
Oh yeah, I'll like step out and pew!
Okay, so you attempt to pew-pew. Roll to pew-pew.
I don't like that wording. I got a 21 for the first one, and then I got a 10 for the second one, so I hit the first one.
Okay, now what kind of damage does Eldritch Blast do again?
So then that's just the...
I believe Eldritch Blast is force damage.
Okay.
My... Way back when I rolled initiative for my Raven, because I thought we were rolling initiative for familiars, and it got a 20. Can I have it come in and give a help action to Paige?
I'm... going to say at this point no.
Okay.
So that did 8 points of damage.
Okay.
Also, one second. I have a. Okay. So I do that. And then my octopus that I haven't named yet is picking up some pebbles for me off the ground.
I kind of want to say your octopus is named like something like Cthulhu, so like shortened from Cthulhu. But it's the littlest of the elder gods.
I don't know. I was thinking octopus would be a good name. Also, would be like Reginald.
It also Lulu? Sounds like it's a sneeze.
Lulu.
It could be Lulu.
It's Lulu. Or because right now it's an octopus shape and I make noises like.
You can name it calamari.
So do sound effects.
Okay, the DM is getting slightly more disturbed.
But anyway, so Lulu is picking up pebbles. The ground, so that way if I need to next turn, I can do magic stones.
All right. It is now Unka's turn.
Sorry.
Okay, so how many friends are up very close to the warlock lady up there?
It looks like the entire adventuring party is slowly making their way up there. That's the place to be.
Yeah.
I'm still against the wall.
Okay. Currently, there are two characters within melee range of, what's her name?
Okay. The imposter.
Alta Gracia, right? Okay.
For short, they can call her Grace, because in Spanish, or in English, that's what it is, just Grace. So.
Yeah. The
That's the only name I'm remembering.
Yeah, so if I cast Sacred Flame, I'm going to end up hurting allies, I think. Depending on how close they are.
Sacred Flame is single target.
Single target?
Sacred Flame?
Sacred Flame only affects one.
Then that's what I'm going to do. Okay. Yeah.
It's already been established that she is not weak to fire attacks.
Right. And I have a fire attack that has got a 60-foot range, so I don't think she's more than 60 feet away from me.
No. Remember, because she hammer danced 61 feet away.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's what
Okay, so I'm going to do that. She has to do a save of a dex 14, if I'm reading that right.
Would you take a 6? No, I didn't add her dex bonus. Would you take an 8?
Still not there. Okay,
all right, so your damage.
2d8 damage is what that is. So let me find 2d8. That's one. There's another one. Okay, 2d8 damage. I got a 3 and a 3.
All right, I'll note that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paige, I'm assuming your familiar is a blue ring octopus. And its actual name is, oh God, someone find a doctor, oh God.
You know,
and Paige is able to share this information with the world because she's heard someone say that frequently enough that she can mimic it.
Yep. Oh God, what are you doing? Put that down!
Hello, here's my friend the Kenku. Her name is, what are you doing? Put that down.
Yeah.
You really don't want to keep that on your lap.
But it loves me.
For some strange reason, this sounds vaguely familiar.
Well, you have children.
Correct. I visited Australia when I was 6 years old, and the first thing they told me was, when you go to the beach, don't pick up the octopuses.
Or the snails.
Yeah, those two.
Or pretty much anything. Australia is the continent that tries to kill you.
Yep. Australia is the continent where, you know, they make jokes about drop bears.
And then they're all real.
That's only vaguely an exaggeration.
So, Unka.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait. You rolled your damage yet?
Yeah. 3 and a 3.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. So that means, just in time for him to return from being AFK, Ulfgar, when last you were at your microphone, you had cast Slow and were keeping concentration on three Goliaths. Luminous has allowed you to drop your concentration because she incinerated four Goliaths.
Sweet.
Yes. She called down the fires of heaven.
She had feelings.
Good for her. Good for her.
She has strong feelings about people.
No fury
in her way.
Like a woman scorned
on her honeymoon.
Thing goes right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only thing could be worse if this had happened when she was getting married.
All right, so target left. What do we have?
Right now, the main threat seems to be Altagracia, but she is getting a pounding.
Yeah. Any other threats besides Altagracia that we can try to deal with?
Most of them have been taken off the board. There are a couple Perez's up top that were disarming the flaming Goliaths. Some discussion was had about if they had their arms left afterwards, and the answer is no.
Fair enough.
You can try to pull the battle axe out of their hand, or you could just make sure they can't send any nerve impulses to the hand afterwards.
I think they can stay put.
What happens to the frightened Goliaths?
Has Altagracia been casting spells?
She cast one.
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 Right.
At the time she cast it, you were still concentrating.
Yeah, I know. Is she in any condition to continue casting spells?
She's on fire.
That doesn't preclude that.
Oh.
As Ari will tell you, he's been on fire and cast spells.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has at least been punished for casting a spell.
Yeah, there might have been a hellish rebuke.
Oh. Okay, got it. So important safety check. She doesn't like fire. Well, why don't we try to aim a firebolt at her, and let's see if we can make that stick.
All right.
I can ignore all cover as a spell sniper, except total cover. So
right now the cover would be Eric, so I'm sure he appreciates that you're ignoring him.
I'm ignoring all. Yeah. I can ignore partial and three quarters cover, as long as she's not behind a wall.
It's kind of like a wall.
He's still not quite solid enough.
I don't know. That shield is kind of solid.
Yeah. Let's see how well the dice roller likes me today. All right. That's a 21 to aim the firebolt at.
No, I think a 21 will hit.
Altagracia.
Yeah.
Okay. 13 points of fire damage.
Ouchie. Can't bet you with that.
By the way, she got bloodied a while ago.
Well, let's just tack a little more on that.
All right.
The important thing from his perspective is I can launch a firebolt from over 200 feet away and aim it so precisely that it can sneak right under, say, Eric's armpit.
I have a question.
And he's that kind of show-off. He's that kind of show-off.
Eric, you feel like you need to refresh your deodorant.
It's kind of hot under the collar right now.
Since
I rarely miss.
Since I think Ulfgar and I go at the same time.
You do.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
How is, for the people who have been attacking Altagracia, how are you standing?
I'm against a wall.
I'm still downstairs.
I am literally right up in a group.
I am running around, trying not to be a target.
Well, you're on a catwalk.
You
for
were,
a
yeah.
dirigible made of adamantium that has come through the ceiling. So
then I will keep moving across back and forth the catwalk.
Yeah. Singing a song by Right Said Fred.
Basically what I'm asking. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's your turn.
What I'm asking is, yeah, is there any way that I can get a 20-foot sphere in a direction relative to her that it encompasses her and not my friends?
I don't Eric. Think so.
No. It
Eric's right next to her.
Yeah, he's too close.
Yeah, and Fahim just punched her a bunch of times.
Yeah, I ran right up to her and just punching her face.
I would argue that Fahim and Eric are on the same side because you came from the same direction. So the question as to whether or not you'd be able to do this is, do you consider Sanctimonious to be a friend?
I consider Sanctimonious to probably have more hit points than the person who's been being hit a bunch of times.
I love the perspective.
And I consider that I'm going to cast Sleep with a third level spell slot.
Okay.
Whoa.
And that's not a lot of... not a very high roll on the 98. That's 38 hit points. So the first person in the area who has fewer than 38 hit points, or 38 exactly, is going to sleep if there's anyone there.
Okay. So remember I told you that Sanctimonious was dealing with three that you also feared?
Ah!
Uh-oh.
Two of them fall down. Actually, no. No, all three of them are down. They had the least amount of hit points.
That's cool.
Right.
Sanctimonious
okay,
was also kind of setting them on fire. Yeah, so you don't need to concentrate anymore either.
Yeah.
You can all be like Kevin now. He isn't concentrating on anything.
Just to be
like
clear,
Herb, only on science.
I want to make sure I understand. Altagracia is still up?
Yes.
Sanctimonious is still up?
Yes.
The creatures Sanctimonious was fighting are not still up.
Correct.
Okay.
Very important difference.
So right now, Bryn is proving to be a powerful ally to Sanctimonious.
As opposed to Anka, who hit him with a spiritual weapon.
Well,
yeah, making
attempted
up
to.
For that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
It looks like things are about to wrap up here based on amount of hit points and enemies that are remaining in play. So I imagine that we'll be finished by the time we get to the end of the initiative order here. That said, Mazir, it's your turn.
Wait, it is?
Yeah, Bryn just went.
Oh.
Okay, how far am I from Altagracia?
I already told you, 61 feet. No. I would say maybe...
Enough with the hammer dance.
10, 15, something like that. Within a movement.
I'm going to have Rome harass her for a help action.
Okay.
And I'm going to cast Flame Blade and attack her with my short sword.
Okay.
I misheard that as Beyblade.
Yeah. Mazir pulls out a small spinning top.
Let rip!
I have students that get too excited when they're talking about them, so they just call them Beybays.
I use my inspiration more. I'm going to keep
That's a 21. For the first attack.
You do hit.
Which is... I gotta do the math.
Math!
We meet again.
Everyone knows D&D is just math simulator.
I appreciate the one time where the party was given a reward for doing something, and you asked for more money to make it easier on the math.
Mm-hmm. That was a while ago.
Yeah. 16 points of damage.
16 points of damage, and for my second trick...
Okay.
I will keep guessing.
Will a 13 hit?
It will not.
I'm going to use my inspiration.
Oh.
Will a natural one hit?
Oh, no.
So, do I want to be that DM that asks, short answer, yes. Long answer, hit who? Look, I got to tell you, we got to concentrate here because one of us has been possessed by an owl.
Woohoo! As long as it's not me getting cool.
Okay.
I'm just going to say for expediency, you did not hit.
I'm going to go ahead and take the 13, and I will take a bonus action to take a hide action.
Okay. You hide behind a screaming, burning Goliath.
Oh, that's my favorite.
There are no actual Goliaths that are in any fighting shape at this point, so we're going to skip their turns. Any of them that disagree with this, just stop screaming.
Or screaming.
They have not stopped screaming, so we're going to move on. It is now Sanctimonious' turn. He holds his action, but as a free action, he just mocks Altagracia. Did you really think that even for a heartbeat, I would ally myself with the likes of you? Really?
Oh, man, that's some words. There's...
and the entire time he's petting Mutt, because he still has Mutt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Altagracia's turn. So she reaches out and grabs Eric by the collar and pulls him close and says, uh-oh. I might not have the throne, but neither will your mother.
That's rude.
Ho, ho, ho. What?
Oh, shit.
Backstories. They're super effective. God.
Oh, gosh.
Give me a DC 15 wisdom saving throw.
No, how about I make a
this
roll?
Is not a spell attack. Casting...
Oh, okay.
This is not a spell attack. This is a special ability.
Hard truth.
All right, so this attack is going to affect... I need saving throws from Fahim, Mazir, and Eric.
Oh, not me.
But which... What kind of saving throw?
I'd be
DC
happy
15
to.
But... Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Oh, Eric had a good shot at it.
Yeah. 16.
Can we try for 3? Nope.
Oh.
Sorry.
7.
Okay. So that is going to be... So Eric's going to take emotional damage from this attack, but that's not really a game mechanic. Mazir, who doesn't quite...
His bonus action is only crying.
Yeah. Mazir, who doesn't quite understand what's going on, is going to take 10 psychic damage. You hear whispers. Lots of whispers.
Oh, I know this spell. I mean, the player does.
It's not a spell.
Yeah, but I know this spell.
Yeah, you know this music, so let's change the beat. The whispers, you're familiar with the effects, but this might be the first time you're encountering this particular source. And your view of Altagracia changes a bit as you look at her. You see, like, tendrils. One could argue that they're tentacles.
I love this.
She's not quite 100% elf anymore, you think.
So I cast Hellish Rebuke. No. I have run out of those.
She's kindred.
As long as she's not embraced.
That's a different game, though.
It is, yes.
As long as she's not embraced.
And that wasn't even an action. That was... There's something where the wording is at the start of the warlock's turn. You can do this. So now she's
Paige
going to attempt to cast a spell.
Is very is both surprised and also happy and also sad.
Did you say that she's casting a spell?
She is attempting to cast a spell. I know what you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and roll.
I cast counter spell.
You're gonna have to roll because she's not casting yet at a low level.
Indeed. Let's see.
Well, if she fails...
16.
So what level will that take care of?
6.
6.
Okay, the spell fizzles. And the look of anger and resentment and fury on Alta Gracia's face.
I'm a little sad too.
No spell for you.
As she's spitting into Eric's face and, you know, saying these horrible things, for a moment, her face goes blank and she just looks very surprised. Like, this is not how it's supposed to happen. This is
thou shalt not put our faith in demon princes.
Why did this happen to me?
Fahim?
Mm-hmm.
Mazir looks at Fahim and says, take the shot.
Go for the knee.
Why did this
happen to me?
Once again, I'm going for a flurry of blows to get a full attack.
Monks are fun.
So, I nat 20, one of those.
Wow.
I like how the way you rolled it, we're looking at all the individual rolls, but then we're also looking at sidekick, adding them up, so you rolled a 47.
Right.
Yes.
He's rolling non-Euclidean dice.
And that 12 probably hits,
you can't use these for this game.
I get a +7, so that means the lowest of those is a 14.
Okay, yeah. What's your bonus to damage?
All right, my bonus to damage is only +4, but I roll a d6 for each attack that hits.
So 5.
Okay. I'm going to say that if you roll all ones, you kill her. So how do you want to do this?
Ooh.
Yeah!
Especially considering you got a crit in there.
Is it too extra if I say she roundhouse kicks her head off?
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Okay, by the way, while this is happening, I want Lulu to be slowly waving a tentacle. My fellow Cthulhu follower.
I recommend, but do not demand, that the coup de grace be Mazir's black and sort of shadow smoking short sword at her throat, which Fahim kicks through and knocks her head off.
That is an option.
That works. All right, so congratulations. You kick her into a sword, and her head is going. It's going. It's good. Some guy shows up in a black and white striped shirt, raises his arms. Some other guy shows up and drops a flag, and everyone starts to boo. That's all I know about the sport. If you drop a flag, people
boo. Roughing the kicker. Are you kidding me?
Get the ref out of here.
Meanwhile, there's someone who wasn't even touched who's laying down on the ground holding their knee and crying.
Yeah. that's soccer. You gotta stop that.
Yeah.
But the head goes flying through the air and hits the ground, bounces a couple times, and stops right in front of Paige.
Oh, yes. And my octopus, Lulu just kind of pats it.
The head does not respond.
Pat.
And I do actually have a moment of silence for fellow dying. But I don't like have a long moment of silence because like I also don't care.
And we're going to round this up with another out of context quote. Yes.
It's reverence for the Cthulhu, not for the person who thought they were the better warlock. I also make kind of like the nanny nanny boo boo sound.
Okay, give me
an arcana check. My cat just fell off the desk onto my lap.
Paige, when you're done being attacked by your cat, give me an arcana check.
Okay. Let's see. Is that enough?
17, sure. That's above the threshold.
Okay,
so,
cool.
You don't quite know what you would prefer for this to happen multiple times so that you are able to take detailed notes about it for science.
Yes.
But you have a feeling that like something passed from Alta Gracia to you when your familiar made contact.
Nice.
And considering who you follow, you don't necessarily feel bad about this.
No, I don't.
The player might.
I don't.
The PC.
Paige is now eating souls.
Oh no.
Thing is that Paige's only motivator is knowledge. So no.
Okay. But this is not, like, there's not a visible effect that other people can see. This is something that Paige realized it only because Paige rolled very high on Arcana check. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Paige might not have noticed. She was paying attention.
Mazira is gonna loot the body.
Of course. But we'll worry about that next time.
Next time!
Okay. Because we've been playing for over 3 hours.
Oh, wow. So tonight,
yeah, but it finished with me eating a soul, so I'm really game.
All right, so tonight we were joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Ellie, Eric, Io, Jen, Millie, Cindy, Matt, Archbeth, hanging out in chat like usual. I found out only recently that Archbeth is because Archbeth is the Archangel of Archives and the Demon of Details. So that's a thing. Also a line editor.
Yes.
Demon Princess of Nitpicking. Okay, I got it wrong. I've been corrected.
But she is the devil in the details.
I appreciate that correcting me was in fact nitpicking.
Oh, yes, that is one of her rights, isn't it?
There we go. So it's all good. Plugs. Ellie runs elec.xyz. It's Mastodon. You should make an account there. It's awesome.
I do, but also sometime soon I'm going to have a Patreon and a Kickstarter campaign for a new video game.
All right.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that on the...
Yes. So, I could say more, but spoilers. Eric streams on twitch.tv/untamedsyn. That's S-Y-N. Io's mom writes books. You can get them at elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast at bookofjen.net. Millie has lots of accounts, all magical Millie. She will stream really bad fan fiction written by other people at twitch.tv/magicalmillie. And we have a Patreon at patreon.com/cogwheelgaming that helps keep the lights on. As we get more donations, I end up spending more money because podcasting is a bottomless pit that you try to fill with money. So I say we'd like to break even, but that's not going to happen. And thank you to our wonderful patrons, Alice, Chris, Cindy, Ellie, and Eric, for donating what you donate. You're super cool people. And not just because you give me money. All right, so that's all until next time. So until next time, this is Crash saying, my honeymoon.
That's all, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.